Well, good morning, everybody. Everybody awake? Everybody good? All right. It's good to see you. Well, welcome this morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. As you get turned to there or thumb your way through your smart devices there. Welcome to New Life Church, where we are on a mission to make Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. Last week, we wrapped up our Easter series called Love Reigns. And that was a four-week series. We started 2 weeks before Easter and wrapped up the week following, which was last week, and just exploring and experiencing the power of God's love and how His love changes our life. His love reigns over our past, our very present, and our future. And I'm excited today. We're going to be water baptizing here in a little bit near the end of our worship gathering. We've got several folks who have already committed and decided to follow Jesus, make that step, a fresh commitment, a fresh start in Christ. And so it's going to be a celebratory time as we do that here shortly. And I would encourage you, if you didn't plan on being baptized, but something compels you, that something would be the Holy Spirit to compel you, or maybe a real loving neighbor that's sitting nearby saying, you should do this. We'll welcome you to do that. We'll be happy to baptize you in that moment. So just keep that in mind. We've been covering off and on our different values as a church, our core values as a church. We've covered four of them so far this year. Those values are not necessarily in a particular order, but we covered the value of being kingdom-minded, the value of being discipleship-driven as a church, the value of being stewardship-guided, and we've also covered the value of the Great Commission and being focused on that and not losing sight of that. And today we're going to cover a core value that we call Holy Spirit-filled, and I'm excited about this one today. We'll have one more core value that we'll cover in just the couple of weeks from now. But we're going to look at this one today, this core value. Let's look at the text, 2 Corinthians 13. And we're going to read the last few verses, starting in verse 11. This is written from the Apostle Paul to the believers in Corinth. And he writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love. All of God's people here send you their greetings." And verse 14, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let's pray over this word. Lord, we thank you for what your word has to say. I know there's a lot of it that maybe puts some question marks in our minds and we don't really understand some of the things that are expressed. There's a lot to be said, but it all points to one place. It all points to one person, Jesus. And so today, let your word come alive in us. Where we've not understood something today, let it make sense. Where we are off and not in sync with you, Lord, bring it together in one step with you today. Let your word be life-giving and help me to speak it in a way that glorifies you and helps your people in Jesus' name. Everyone can say amen. Our theme as a church this year, we came into this year with a theme called Living Unstuck. The theme of Living Unstuck. You know, the Holy Spirit, no doubt, plays a major role in helping us to move forward in life God's way. Cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's part of His name, Helper, as we're going to learn today. And I want to propose a few thoughts to you today, starting out. I want to propose that the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep in the creation in Genesis 1 is the same Spirit that overshadowed Mary to give birth to Jesus. I want to propose to you that the same Spirit that God breathed into the nostrils of man to become a living being is the same Spirit that descended like a dove, settling on Jesus at his baptism, marking him with new life, is the same Spirit in our life today. I want to propose to you that the same pillar of fire that led Israel from death and bondage in Egypt is that same pillar of fire that we read about in the book of Acts that manifests new beginnings in our life. I want to propose to you that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you who belong to Christ Jesus. You see, our faith in Christ, our belief in God, is a supernatural faith. It's a supernatural connection. It's not all about crossing T's and dotting I's and getting it right every single day, as much as it is about letting the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit be big inside of us. You see, the same Spirit that was in creation is the same Spirit that operates in a believer's life today. That it's life-giving, life-changing. His Spirit is life-transforming. And we're going to look at some roles of that today. Here at New Life Church, we believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, meaning we're open to what God is wanting to do in our life, and we don't want to put limitations on Him. God cannot fit in a box. He cannot. And we want to experience His filling in our life every single day. We want His Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to inspire us, and to produce in us God's holy character and love in our life so that we can be His witnesses on this earth. Did you know Jesus gave the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit? In John 14 through 16, He was exploring and talking with His disciples, and He was preparing them about His departure and how it would be, but not to lose heart. Because He said, the Father will send you the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, and He will live in you. Jesus said that His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He reminded them in Luke 24, and then Luke writes again in Acts 1 that the Holy Spirit would be coming to live in them, to teach them, to convict them, to guide them, to help them, and that they would not be alone. And He reminded them after the resurrection of that hang on, guys. He said, hold tight. You just need to wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave that city until something special takes place. And that something special will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where we see the fulfillment of that in Acts chapter 2. The fulfillment of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which took place on the day of Pentecost, which for us will be on May the 19th. 50 days following Passover, following the weekend of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, will be Pentecost Sunday. And you know, but that was really just the beginning. In fact, Peter preached on that day, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. All those people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And then from there, all sorts of miracles and signs and wonders began to take place. God, in fact, was adding to the church every single day people who were coming to faith in Jesus. But it all began because the Holy Spirit was fulfilled and coming forth. In fact, Joel the prophet prophesied that would happen. And part of Peter's sermon on that day, he didn't plan on preaching. In fact, he was still trying to overcome shame. Anybody dealing with shame, don't raise your hand. Anybody dealing with shame, he was trying to overcome regret. Anybody have regrets in their life? Peter was trying to overcome letting his Lord down. He let Him down. He denied Him 3 times. Peter probably was not planning on preaching a message. He didn't spend all week planning 3 points in a poem to give to the congregation that day. There wasn't a congregation. There was about 120 people just gathered in an old upstairs room. They probably did not have good airflow, and they were hot, and they were fanning, and they were like, I need some water. But one thing they were doing was they were praying, and they were doing what Jesus said to do, and that was waiting. They were waiting on something special to happen, and it did. Peter got up to preach, and he said, you know, quoting about Joel, he said, this that's happening right now, he said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. Meaning, this is just the beginning of what the Lord is wanting to do. And church, I want to encourage you in the power and the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit, that that is not something that just happened at the book of Acts and Acts 2, just on that day of Pentecost. But I want to tell you, we firmly believe that the power and the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for our life today. That we believe that God can fill our life. God can change our life. God can do something great with our life. In fact, Paul ends this letter here to the believers in Corinth, and he tells them, he says, my final words to you are this, be joyful. Man, part of joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on being a millionaire. It's not. There's a lot of people who are filthy rich, but who are not happy, who are not joyful, who do not have Jesus, and et cetera. But he says, be joyful no matter what. That is a product of God's Spirit in a person's life. He says, grow to maturity. How do we grow to maturity except the help of the Holy Spirit? He says, encourage each other. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to be an encourager to one another. Amen? We need to be a source of exhortation and building one another up. That's part of what the Holy Spirit produces in our life. Live in harmony and peace. Go to Walmart in peace and harmony and the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Some of you remember my Walmart story. Greet each other with Christian love. Takes the power of the Spirit. And he ends it. He says, look, the grace of Jesus, the Trinity here, the grace of Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship. Everyone say the fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's what I want to dwell on for the next few minutes is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let's break that down for just a moment. The word fellowship there in Greek is the word koinonia, which is the same word of fellowship that Luke uses in Acts 2, talking about the believers. They devoted themselves to prayer, the word, and to fellowship. That word fellowship means close mutual relationship and involvement. Close mutual relationship and involvement. And then the words Holy Spirit in the Greek is the word paraclete, which gives this definition. The paraclete is the comforter, the helper, who strengthens, encourages, and supports the believer's life in Christ Jesus. So when he says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, he's saying, may the close mutual relationship and involvement of the comforter and the helper be at work in your life. See, it removes the mystery. Now, yeah, you can't see the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture talks about that, how you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects. And you can feel the effects of the wind. And it removes the mystery. Paul says, look, in your everyday life, in all that's going on in your life, in your world, not only do you need the grace of Jesus, the love of God the Father to be big in you, but you also need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You need the close relationship and involvement of the comforter and the helper to be at work in your life. Back in the 1900s, 1991 to be exact, so it wasn't that far back in the 1900s. I like to use that. I heard that. I like to use that now. It was 33 years ago. I was standing in church. I was in church, freshly saved by just a few months. It was Sunday night church. You know, some of you recall we used to go to church Sunday, have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then you had all the socials of church throughout the different times of the week, and sometimes right on Saturday night, right before church the next day. I mean, we were doing all kinds of things together. But it was Sunday night church. I was sitting over here to my right in this section at the church I'm from, and just worshiping, just singing, and there was about 400 people there, and a buddy of mine had come to the altar to pray for a bit, and he was walking back, and he was sitting behind me, and he stopped behind me, and he put his hands on my shoulders as I was just, I can see it as if it were just happened yesterday. I was standing there, and I had my hands lifted, just singing, and I felt when at salvation, I remember that moment when I just turned my heart to the Lord and let Him have everything, and I remember that moment as if it happened yesterday, and I remember this moment as if it happened yesterday, and He just started praying for me, and I just got this, felt this overwhelming sensation. From a goosebump feeling is kind of how I describe it, to every hair on my arms, my neck were standing up, and then I just started kind of crying and just worshiping and praising the Lord. And I started speaking in tongues, first time I ever done that before, and then I was trying to figure out, my natural mind was trying to figure out what in the world's going on, but I knew it was not me. I knew what I was experiencing was heaven on earth, right here in my heart, right here in my life. And I'll never forget that moment of truly what I would call being filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, I began to learn some things about the Holy Spirit. And three things in particular that I want to share with you today, three roles of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life is He gives us power. And when we say the word power, I know sometimes that can turn some people off, and then that can kind of intrigue others. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, my eyes began to be open to the teaching of the Scripture about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then another is be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, the thing about it is we can operate and be used in these gifts and have all these gifts working in our life, but if we don't have the holy character of God to sustain us, Paul calls that in 1 Corinthians 13 just loud and noisy. So it's not one over the other, it's all of it working together in a harmony together. And that's the only God can make that happen. Only God can cause the gifts of the Spirit and His power to be expressed in a person's life and produce a thing of the fruit of the Spirit called loving kindness or gentleness or any of those. It's all of that. It's not all or it's not one or none. It's all together. And that journey began 33 years ago. And He began to open my eyes up to see and my heart up to experience and to desire that all of that, that as a believer, you can have all of that working in your life. And guess what? You don't have to be cuckoo either. You can carry on a normal conversation with somebody one moment about sports or about makeup, and the next moment you can be encouraging them in the Lord, and you don't have to sound goofy. You don't have to turn on the heavenly mind to leave the earth to carry on the works of God in people's lives. Because I believe this is not only to be expressed all of us here at church corporately, but we should also want to see this happen in our everyday life. Amen? In our everyday life. Our everyday life. Power. Here's what Luke writes in Acts 1:8. Recording the words of Jesus after His resurrection, before His ascension. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." The word power there in the Greek is a word called dunamis. It's spelled D-Y-N-A-M-I-S. It's where we get our English word dynamite, which is used to blow things up to make room for something new. And so He says you will receive dunamis, you will receive this dynamite in your life to blow things up in you so that new things can take over. You will find new strength. That word goes on to describe power, describes new strength and ability to overcome in this world and to be a living witness for Jesus with boldness. That's what that means. You will receive power. The Holy Spirit will bring His power in your life. He will blow things up that stand in the way that need to come down. He will blow up idols in your mind. He will blow up addictions in your life. He will destroy strongholds that have you bound. The Holy Spirit will blow it up so that you can experience new things that God has waiting for you. New things, a new strength, a new ability to tackle this life, a new ability to be an overcomer, a new ability to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus who loves you. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Will He knock you down sometimes? He can. Will He make you lay down and be quiet? He can do that too. Will He cause you to get excited and be an encourager and a motivator and an inspirer and give you boldness and courage where you didn't think you could do something? He absolutely will. Because God desires to see His children flourish. He desires to see you flourish in this world and not be overtaken by whatever happens in life. He wants to see you rise and not fall. And the power of the Holy Spirit will raise you up. Another area is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're listed. There's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that we are given these spiritual gifts so that we can help each other. So they're for the common good, to help each other out. Not exploit one another, not hurt one another, not manipulate one another, or not take advantage of one another. Shame on any man or person who uses the gifts of God to manipulate somebody. Shame on them. The gifts are not given for personal gain. The gifts are given to help each other out. That's why you give a gift to somebody, right? You don't give a gift and expect to give it back. I wanted that. Or you should publicly thank me so that I can get the credit for giving you the gift. No, God gives gifts to help one another. And here's the cool thing about it. He wants to flow in you and through you to do that. He wants to use your life to do that. Verse 11 says, the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes these gifts. He decides which gift each person should have. And if you go to chapter 14, verse 1, Paul goes on and he says, pursue love. Let love be your highest goal. While you're doing that, also desire the gifts of the Spirit. So that's why he closes chapter 13 up on the love chapter, that the motivation in any one of our hearts should be because we love God, and we love God, that means we should love people. Amen? And if we love each other, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be pure. They would be pure, flowing in a person's life. So earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. What are these nine gifts? The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. The gift of faith. The gift of healing. The power to perform miracles. The gift of prophecy. The gift to discern spirits. The gift of speaking in tongues. And the gift to interpret tongues. All of these come from the Holy Spirit. And here's amazing. It all is based, do we desire? Do we desire these gifts? Do we desire these gifts? We should not only desire these gifts here at church, together as a body of Christ, when we come together to worship, we get to utilize, practice those. But then also we should be willing to take these gifts into our everyday world. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every day of my life I go out in the world and in the public and I'm thinking about nine gifts of the Spirit. I'm thinking about how can the Lord use me today. Most of the time I'm thinking about how fast can I get in and how fast can I get out? I've got my, I'm going into whatever store, I've got it mapped out, I'm going to try to park here, I'm going to go through that door, go down this aisle, that aisle, come around, check out, and get out in about 2 minutes if I can. And I will not ask for help when I'm in the store if I can't find something. I'm going to find it. I'm going to look it up on the app, and I'm going to see which aisle it says it's on. I'm just not going to bother the worker to help me find it out. That would not be good. I don't know why I'm stubborn that way. Most of the time, I'm not thinking about it that way. Most of the time, I'm thinking about me and how quick I can do life and not mess up anybody else's and not get messed up on my own. But the Holy Spirit, church, not only does He want to move in this gym, He wants to move inside these vessels in our everyday life. There are all of these beautiful, powerful, knowledgeable, perfect gifts that come from our perfect God that He wants to use and put in our life so that we can help other people. I have probably out of these 9 gifts, I'd lean more towards most of the time the gift of prophecy is probably one of the more common ones. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 14, that being one of the more common desiring gifts. That gift strengthens, encourages, and supports a believer and exhorts them. God's used me in the gift of healing before. He's used me in a word of knowledge before. He's used me in discerning of spirits before. He's used me in the gift of speaking in tongues before and in discerning of tongues before. Now, I know when you get on the tongue thing, it can kind of like, oh, that just sounds so goofy sometimes. Sounds weird. I don't understand it. Exactly. Our natural mind does not. It's not English. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about understanding. And I'm saying all this to say, I'm no different than you. Pastor Prentice, I defer to the elder here, probably have been using all of these gifts multiple times over. There's nothing special about any of us. God wants to use all of us. And I would say this. I would dare say some of you have been used in one of these gifts and you probably didn't even realize it sometimes. Didn't even maybe realize what God was doing. But your heart was just so right. Your heart was just so filled with love. You were just wanting to be a source of strength to somebody. And God flowed through your life. God spoke through you. These days, He can text through you. Do you know that? He can text a word to somebody, and it'd be just what they needed. I want to say this. If we don't desire the gifts, then there's no reason for us to expect the gifts. And I want to encourage us all, let's desire the gifts privately, and let's also desire the gifts corporately as the body, as we come together. That I dream of the Spirit of God moving in our church, and He's just picking people off, saying, you, go up there and tell the church this. Go up there and yield this word to the leader and let them know this is what the Lord says. I desire to see the gifts of the Spirit just starting to move and function. Anybody else? Anybody else want to just see the work of the Holy Spirit just start moving like that? Where, you know, He just starts picking you and choosing you because you came in wanting, desiring the gifts of the Spirit? Now, will it make some of us uncomfortable? It's going to make me uncomfortable. It always has. It always has. I've been in this for 30 years. It always makes me uncomfortable when God doesn't do what I tell Him to do. But the world's too dark. People's souls matter too much. Life's too short. Life's too hard and challenging as it is. That God's got something rich and perfect and a treasure for every single one of us. And guess what? How how it cannot be because I'm the one that can control that or stop that. I want to see us in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Does that make us weird or goofy? No. Absolutely not. It makes us genuine that we realize we're not perfect. But man, there is the perfect God with the perfect Spirit that has the perfect thing to get to each one of our lives because He wants to heal. He wants to make whole. He wants to restore. He wants to break things off of us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to put lives back together. He wants to renew your dreams. He wants to restore your heart's desire. He wants you to make it more in this life than you desire to make it in this life. And we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And lastly, remember I said it's not one or all or nothing. It's all together. We need the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at those. The fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says this, there is no law against these things. No law against these things. You know what that says? There is no limit to how big God can be in your life. No limit. No limit to how God can be, how big God can be. There's no limit to how big His love can be in you. There's no limit to how big His joy can be inside of your life. There's no limit to how big peace can be inside of you, no matter what you deal or face. And there's no limit to His patience. And I don't really like praying for patience. But man, don't we need it? There's no limit to His kindness. Come on, I know some of us can all be around some cantankerous people, and some of us can be that way too. There's no limit to the bigness of goodness in our life. There's no limit to the fruit of faithfulness. Come on, if you struggled in trying to be faithful, it's the fruit of the Spirit that can grow in you and make you faithful. There's no limit to how big that can be. There's no limit to how gentle any one of us can be. And there's no limit to how much self-control. I won't get off on that one because I'll step on too many toes, mine included. But there's no law against these things. Come on, if you've been wanting and desiring and in kind of maybe secretly wishing that you could change this or change that about you, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Here, I believe this. I truly believe that most of our issues can change if we would just learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. If we would just learn to yield, that because the produce of the fruit is not based on our ability, it's based on our willingness to just yield to the Holy Spirit. You and I, no matter how hard you and I try to force love, make joy, bring about peace, try to be a better patient person, try to be more loving, try to be more faithful, try to be good, and try to be, you know, more self-controlled on our own, then we can't. I want to tell you one prayer of asking, Holy Spirit, give me self-control. The fruit of the Spirit of self-control can really blossom in your life. And the awesome thing is, it continues to grow. It continues to grow. The fruit of the Spirit continues to grow. But you, like the gifts, we have to desire that. We have to want that to happen. You know, we can sit in a teaching on salvation, teaching on healing, teaching on forgiveness or on deliverance and learn a whole lot about it. But it's another thing to experience that. Same with the Holy Spirit. You sit on a lot better teachings than what I can give you on that. But to experience the Holy Spirit, way better. A lot more. I want to give those folks who are going to be water baptized today an exit. If you want to leave the church, go ahead. Don't come back because you don't like us anymore. But you can go get changed. If you didn't sign up and you're like, man, I wish I'd have thought to get a change of clothes or be baptized today, I just want to encourage you, don't let that moment pass. We can help you out with that, okay? We can help you out with that. But if you'll go get ready. I want to end with this. If your power is getting weak, your strength is getting weak, experience the fellowship, the close mutual relationship and involvement of the Holy Spirit. Bible says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. If you feel like your gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, are dormant, inactive, unreachable, experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. If the fruit in your life is getting low on supply, you found yourself more impatient than patient, more ornery than kind, whatever, experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That close mutual relationship and involvement of the Comforter and the Helper. Let me invite you to stand. I'd like to open up the altar for a moment while the baptism things are getting ready and people are getting changed. And I'd like to just simply invite you for a response to renew the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life. Friends, I dare say we probably all know when we know we've reached the end of our rope, when we've reached the end of us, and we need something greater. God never intended us to try to go through life, deal with life, manage life, steward life out of our own wit and charm and strength. No. Jesus said to his disciples, and he says it today, the Father will send you the Helper. I want to encourage you, don't be like me in Lowe's and not ask for help. Let's ask for help today. I don't know everything you're facing. The Lord hasn't given me an inside knowledge on it today for you personally. But I do want to, he has instructed me to just open up the altar. I want to encourage you, renew the fellowship with the Holy Spirit today. The band's going to lead us in this song, and as they do, I just want to invite you forward. If you need a renewal in your heart, you need a renewal in your spirit, you know you can't go on with life the way it is and the way you've been handling it. You know there's more. There's got to be more to your story. There's got to be more to your life. There's got to be more that God can do, and there is. I want to encourage you. I don't care if you've been saved 75 years or 2 minutes or whatever it is in your walk. Let's renew the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Father, we welcome you and we thank you now. Pour out your Spirit upon this place and upon your people. You see us where we're at. We draw near to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.